The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The Green Bay Packers are on the clock. Better yet, the Aaron Rodgers era of the Green Bay Packers is on the clock. How much longer does this marriage have? How much longer will the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers be together? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can answer that question at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, Jerry Krause was painted as a villain, but perhaps he should have been painted as an architect. That's what we've learned from the most recent episodes of The Last Dance, the documentary airing on ESPN. Several of my colleagues do not think the Dallas Cowboys have earned the right to be a favorite, not only in the NFC, but in the NFC East. And it's time to fight for college sports. Not in the traditional popular way on sports media we talk about college sports, not the tried and true worn path of talking about whether or not athletes should get paid, but whether or not there should be college athletics for non-revenue generating sports like swimming, gymnastics, volleyball, soccer, whether or not the concept of the student athlete can continue, because that fight is taking place as we speak right now. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The seconds, the minutes, the hours, maybe not the years, are ticking away on the Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay. And maybe we should have seen this coming. According to The Athletic and longtime Packers reporter Bob McGinn, Matt LaFleur had been tiring of Aaron Rodgers' act for some time. LaFleur, the rookie head coach who's been in Green Bay for 1 year, quote, according to Bob McGinn, public niceties aside, my sense is LaFleur, fresh from a terrific 13-3 baptismal season, simply had enough of Rodgers' act and wanted to change the narrative. With a first-round talent on the roster, the Packers would gain leverage with their imperial quarterback and his passive-aggressive style. If the Packers do indeed want to become a running team next season, they surely wouldn't want Rodgers rocking the boat and becoming even more difficult to coach. We openly wondered a year ago how Matt LaFleur would mesh with Aaron Rodgers. We saw the way Rodgers and McCarthy fell out, and we wondered if a rookie head coach would be able to handle the personality, the status, the cult following of the most talented quarterback in the NFL and make it work. And according to Bob McGinn, that project is now on a timeline. Rob Domofsky, ESPN's NFL Nation Packers reporter, has admitted as such. It's now on the clock. Listen.
What they did in this draft effectively took the ball out of Rodgers' hands, both literally and figuratively. In the short term, they started the window, started that clock ticking on the end of Rodgers' time. But they also did this. They didn't get him any help, as you mentioned. 36 receivers, they took none of them. They take A.J. Dillon in the second round. They essentially are going to replace Aaron Jones. The other thing they did was they signified that this is now Matt LaFleur's offense. This isn't the mishmash of what Aaron Rodgers ran last year, which was a combination of what he liked to do and what LaFleur wanted to do. They're all in now with LaFleur.
So Aaron Rodgers is on the clock. When will it strike midnight? 3 years. I think there are 3 years left on the Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay. We almost punted on this story. We almost decided we couldn't even do it today because as we read through Bob McGinn's story on The Athletic and everywhere else, we kept coming across, and I'm going to admit some ignorance on this, the pronunciation of Packers GM Brian, I don't know, and it feels dangerous how to say his last name. I said it, and at that point, Bubba said, I think we should just punt on the whole story. I mean, it certainly can't be the way you're saying it. This just felt dangerous, Bubba. I don't know if we should continue talking about it if we can't say his name, and I don't know that I can say his name.
Well, I'm told Mike A has actual pronunciation from Tim Hasselbeck, but yeah, I mean, the way you were saying it, I felt like I need to get the dump button ready to go, and we had to immediately switch to a Cowboys topic. But Mike supposedly has the actual pronunciation, and maybe it is what you were saying. We can find out right now.
Well, Mike, I said in the pre-show, it's Bob Gutekunst, and the record scratched in the pre-show meeting, and everybody said, don't, let's not do the segment. Let's just, can we all do something else? I got an idea for a Cowboys topic, right? But you told me, think of the cheese Gouda. That's how you should say it. And I was like, well, what part? Because the second part is the part that I'm feeling very insecure about. But now you have an official pronouncer from Tim Hasselbeck, and maybe I, in fact, stuck the landing on this one?
Brian Gutekunst.
That is exactly how I said it. So how dare you question me? You feel confident,
feel
Mike,
like,
A, in my
I
pronunciation?
I feel like that's not what you said.
I feel like it is. I feel like it is.
It was worth it. I'm not sure that's what you said.
It was a little harsher when you said it.
Maybe you put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
I nailed it. Nope.
Brian Gutekunst.
Yep, I got it. I feel like if we can all agree that I said it correctly, we can move forward with this segment. Unless you guys are ready to talk about the Cowboys. Do you guys want to do a Cowboys segment or anything like that?
I mean, I would ask Nuno, but I think he's on another call right now.
I mean, I've got a, you know, bottomless pocket full of Cowboys topics and maybe some new listeners today that aren't aware of my affiliations, but
I
feel safe. I feel safe, Mike. I feel safe with this pronunciation. I feel good moving forward with this Packers story. So they're on the clock, and it's fascinating. It is absolutely, perhaps you could anticipate it, but it's still so heavy of a weight to throw down on the table. The Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay is coming to an end. And my estimation is it's got approximately 3 years left. Here's my rationale. Aaron Rodgers, through the year 2022, will have a dead cap hit that year of $17 million. Before that, it's $34 million. And in the final year, 2023, his dead cap hit is $2.8 million. Stephen A. Smith and Tony Kornheiser have opined over the last several days over whether or not Aaron Rodgers should demand a trade in the wake of Jordan Love being selected in the first round of the NFL draft. That's simply not feasible. The Packers can't deal with that from a salary cap perspective. Under no circumstances would they trade away Aaron Rodgers. In 3 years, though, they could take a $17 million hit, and in 4 years, they could take an almost $3 million hit. Both of those much more palatable. But I think the answer is 3 years on the clock, because now we have to factor in Jordan Love's timeline. When you draft a quarterback in the first round, you get 4 years plus a rookie option, giving you 5 years. If they wait four, you virtually have no time to evaluate whether or not Jordan Love's skills translate onto an NFL field in a competitive environment in a regular season game. They have to get Jordan Love out on the field at some point to find out if he is their quarterback of the future, but better yet, find out if he's worth paying into his fifth year and beyond. That backs it up into 2022, Aaron Rodgers' final year. 3 years from now, they could take the $17 million cap hit, put a two-year evaluation into Jordan Love on the field, and that means for the next 3 years, that's it for Rodgers and the Packers. What can they accomplish in those 3 years? Well, they're not exactly putting him in a prime position to succeed, and that means for ESPN's football analyst Dan Orlovsky, the window is maybe even closed. Listen.
I didn't hate the Jordan Love pick. I did it. The last place you want to be is a team that needs to pick a quarterback when there's no one left, right? Like you, so I can understand what the Packers did with that pick. But I also said, before we judge this pick, let's see what happens at pick number 62, because everyone had known it was such a deep class. The fact that they don't get a receiver at 62 or before then is absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Preach. Because they willingly closed their window. The Packers' window is closed. And they closed it with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Think about that. With a Hall of Fame quarterback, they willingly closed the window.
So they have 3 years left on the clock. And then, according to Dan Orlovsky, nothing they can really accomplish in those 3 years. Thus, closing the window for the Packers. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Let's play a game of sliding doors a little bit on the Will Cain Show. We'll ask ourselves, should the Packers have taken Jordan Love in the first round and begin the process in their minds of another seamless transition from franchise quarterback to franchise quarterback, or should they have gone through the door that the New England Patriots did, which is compete for Super Bowls while leaving your cupboard bare at the end of that franchise quarterback's run? That's coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. But some of my colleagues after the NFL draft do not like the idea that the Dallas Cowboys are now the favorites, not just in the NFC, but they don't even like that they're the favorites in the NFC East. We'll hear from some of them coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Kevin in North Carolina, you're on the Will Cain Show.
Will, you are and have always been absolutely right on Dak being better than Wentz. I used to be a doubter, but as always, you're correct. That's okay. Because you have a monopoly on the truth.
Thank you.
Well, my colleagues are lining up to whack at the Dallas Cowboys pinata. Are the Cowboys the favorite in the NFC? Shoot. They're saying they're not even the favorite in the NFC East. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune in to Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I jumped on a podcast this morning. Our old friend Cerruti and our old friend Michelle Smallman, they do one together called Small Talk. I hopped on that, talked about various things in our background. They asked me about the future. A lot of different questions. One of them was that Cerruti asked me, hey, I can take it. He brought up the show's sensitivity rankings, which is one of his favorite aspects of the show. And he said that he consistently got last in the sensitivity rankings. So he used that as a badge of honor to say, I can take it. So Will, give me feedback. What was the most annoying thing about working with him? I said, well, nobody really annoys me that much. I mean, say what you will. I love working with Nuno, Cerruti, Bubba, Mike A, and Pat. And there's nothing that annoys me on a daily basis that's going to stick with me some, you know, year after somebody leaves. Cerruti's been gone for almost a year. But Nuno piped up real quick, Bubba, right? He had an answer. He was ready to go.
I mean, yeah, because you were like, I don't really have anything. And within a second, like, well, I mean, it's got to be his love for Ryan Russillo. It's got to be his love for Ryan Russillo.
Really? Really?
What? That we did it on air?
Well, I'm not shocked. But here. The one annoying thing about Will, he takes some conversations off air and brings them on air.
Tell the truth to the audience.
Is it your That's name off air, Nuno?
Yeah, commercial break, off-air Nuno.
Hey, killed it off-air.
Once again, I'll tell you my answer. I'll tell you my answer. I'm going to save myself on air. I told him it was his millennial dismissiveness. So if I came in and told him that Dak Prescott was a top-five quarterback, or I told him, and he disagreed with me, that Luka Doncic was one of the best young players in the NBA, and he disagreed, he'd just be like, ah, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and then I'd be uncool, and it's over. The debate's over. And he copped to it. He said, that's exactly right. That is what he does. So he did take it. He took it well.
Did he say reverse? What's the most annoying thing about you? Or you guys didn't get into that?
He didn't. You want to go ahead and take the baton on that one, Bubba?
No. I mean, I
Nuno?
Yeah, Nuno, you want to go ahead and fire in on that one?
I'll wait till break.
Right now? Check my mixtape.
I bring this up because I've also been working on a list on the most annoying things about being quarantined with your children for a month, and I've got a list running. Mike A's probably got some contributions to that. I think coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show, we should start a running list on the most annoying things about being cooped up in the house with your children for a long period of time. And don't get me wrong, I love it. I love it. I love them, but let's not pretend like it's never annoying.
So. You trying to convince us or yourself?
I do. I mean it. So there we are. That's we'll do that a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. So apparently not many of my colleagues are big on the Dallas Cowboys, despite the fact that they had an amazing draft, brought in CeeDee Lamb. They tend to think they're not set up to succeed, not just in the NFC, but in the NFC East. Ryan Clark was on Get Up this morning, and this is what he had to say about the prospect of a big season for the Cowboys.
Bruh, y'all be working my nerves, dog. We did this last year. Oh, they gonna win the Super Bowl. I told y'all then. No, they not. They didn't even make the playoffs. And so now all of a sudden, Jerry Jones makes the right choice with the first round pick. He gets CeeDee Lamb. Oh, they're so good again. Last year, we were talking about this team having a possibility to go to the Super Bowl. They don't even make the playoffs. The Philadelphia Eagles are playing with a former quarterback at wide receiver, a walk-on running back at, starting at tailback or the second tailback, and me as the wide out on the other side. That's how terrible they were, and they still couldn't beat them. So now you add Darius Slay on the other side. When you do play well against Philadelphia, you're able to beat them on the outside. Amari Cooper burns them deep. That's not happening no more. He will be locked down by Darius Slay. You add Roby Coleman in the nickel, and now you have a 4-by-1 team in the wide receiver room for Carson Wentz to add to a room that couldn't get deep last year, didn't create any big plays, only 12 plays of over 25 yards. The Dallas Cowboys are not better than the Philadelphia Eagles. They weren't better than them last year, and I feel like the Eagles have improved much more, and especially in places that they needed help, than the Cowboys have. And so for me, it's still the Eagles in the NFC East.
No. No. The Dallas Cowboys made several additions that improved their team, if not as much, more so than the Eagles adding Darius Slay and Nickell Roby Coleman. Notably, CeeDee Lamb as their wide receiver. They've got the emergence, and yes, I do mean this, of not just one but two running backs, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, but most importantly of all, they have a new head coach in Mike McCarthy. What more, this team is not just good on offense. That's a fact. No matter what Dominique Foxworth tells us. Listen to this.
Can I add the point that they brought in CeeDee Lamb, and that's the reason why they think that they're going to be better? They were awesome on offense last year. They were top five in efficiency. If you think that the reason why you're getting better than the Eagles now is because your offense is going to be better than it was the previous season, I think that's a misnomer. They needed improvement on defense, not on offense. CeeDee Lamb is going to be great, but adding him to the offense can't take them any higher than they were last year as far as a passing offense is concerned.
Well, it means that the other teams are going to have to score 35 points to win games. That's what it means. And that defense in Dallas is not as bad as everybody makes it out to be. They're going to get pressure on the quarterback. It's going to be more unpredictable. If they get Alden Smith and Randy Gregory back, look out. Adding Bradley and I, that's going to help that secondary. I think the Dallas Cowboys are the favorites in the NFC East. I think they're one of the favorites in the NFC. This is not even sponsored, but I'm going to tell you, that's straight talk. That's just flat-out straight talk. Coming up, I'll ask Marcus Spears what he thinks. Maybe he dug his turkey call out and finally get to hear it. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
It's not Will Cain that is smooth. It's Mama Cain.
Got a beautiful mother. He really, really does. I flirt with Mama. I'm just saying she's gorgeous. I'm just telling it like it is.
Don't worry. More Will Cain is coming up.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
So many mysteries in the NFL, coming out of the NFL draft. From the Packers, to the Eagles, to the Patriots, we need answers. And we're going to find them here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Answers usually come from ESPN football analyst Marcus Spears. What's up, Marcus?
Yo, Will, what's up, man? I'm sitting in my living room frustrated that my TV won't come back on because I had to reset my modem for my internet, and I'm pissed, bro. I can't
Can I
get
ask you
TV
a question?
To come on.
This is for everybody. This is for you, but I'm curious about people. I have internet troubles all the time through this thing. Now, I've read, of course, everybody's home streaming, so that's putting real stress on the bandwidth. But I've gotten booted off the show a couple times because of my connection. My kids are struggling all day because they're both doing these video conference classes all day long. So I'm trying to go two classes. Yeah. So you're having trouble too?
Yeah, man. I don't know what's going on. Now, fortunately, I haven't had the issue with my home set up for a television because it's backed up by like cell service. Mm-hmm. But my televisions are directly connected to the modem and the internet, and I can't get it to work. So I've restarted. Now my last resort is to call my provider and go off.
And that's
anyway,
that,
you
that's
don't
want like
to know about my problems, bro.
Well, that's what's like up? Signing up for a bad afternoon. If you ever have to tell yourself, I got to call the provider, then you're
oh, no.
By the way, I do the same thing. I stream my television as well. I mean, it's like I still have cable. I get everything, but it's just streamed now. Yeah. Marcus Spears here on the Will Cain Show. I can't find a starting job in the NFL for Jameis or Cam. It looks like Jameis has accepted that fact, and he's going to go be a backup and get a mentorship in New Orleans, which I think is a great call.
Mm-hmm.
Can you find a starting job for Cam? And I think New England's the only even real possibility, and I don't think it's a possibility. Can you find one?
If healthy, Will, Jacksonville may be an option. And the reason I say that is because Jacksonville brought in Nick Foles because they didn't think Garner was a starter. You know? So they may not look at him that way. Or because of the Nick Foles experimenting, obviously Nick Foles was injured, and then when he got back didn't play well, that they may say, you know what, we might have had our starter in the building and Garner Minshew and didn't give him a realistic shot to, like, carry us. With that being said, there's unsurety at the position based on what the franchise has done. So Jacksonville may be good for him. He was in Gainesville at Florida before he transferred to Auburn. So now to your point, when you look around the rest of the league, Cam would be an insurance policy. Cam's situation is totally different. We've seen Cam have really good years, go to a Super Bowl. We know Cam can play at a high level if healthy. And it seems like when you think about the situation in totality of him not being able to perceivably get a physical, him missing almost two seasons, going up and down with the injuries. But also before he was injured, he was playing well. He was leading the league in quarterback rating. Christian McCaffrey was going off. Now, it was a lot of dink and dunk, so it could be misconstrued, like he was going downfield and having a great, like, just throwing for all these crazy yards, but he still played well, took care of the ball. Team was doing pretty good. So Cam still has the ability to play at a high level, is what I'm saying. And for starter, yep. I think Jacksonville, because they've shown that they don't have full confidence in Garner Minshew by bringing in Nick Foles, like I mentioned before. And then when you look at everyone else, everybody else pretty much sit.
Well, here's why I don't think Jacksonville's a fit. Hear me out. Mm-hmm. Because I agree with you. I don't know that they can count on Gardner Minshew, nor do I think they are counting on Gardner Minshew to become their franchise quarterback. I think they think there's a shot, and they might as well see. But if he's not their franchise quarterback, if that's what they find out, I don't think they want to turn it over to Cam to win them 5-6 games just enough to lose out on Trevor Lawrence. I feel like their quarterback plan is Gardner Minshew or Trevor Lawrence, not Gardner Minshew or Cam Newton. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and to your point, like if you now that's a great caveat that you bring in, like Will Cain does, if they, you know, kind of tossing this one up for Trevor Lawrence, that's obviously they would probably try to make that move. We thought Miami was tanking for Tua till they beat New England, though.
Well, they still got Tua.
I don't know, man. I don't know. They got Tua, but they didn't tank for him. You know,
hey,
I think
you cover college football too. Is there, do you get excited about the backup plan? So if you don't, let's say that happens, right? Let's say they sign Cam, the Jags, and, and they realize Gardner's not that good. Let's put Cam in. Cam comes in. He wins them just enough games that they're not the worst team in the league. They're not drafting Trevor Lawrence next year. The backup plan is Justin Fields out of Ohio State. Do you like him a lot as a pro?
I like Justin. Yes, for sure. And not because obviously you can look at the numbers and talk about how well he did at Ohio State, but he was young when he did it. He had never played college football before that season. He had some sparing time at Georgia, but for him to have that much success with Ryan Day in that offense, and we know how it ended with him throwing a pick in, versus Clemson, but from everything that he showed us from his first year as a full starter at Ohio State, Justin Fields is going to be a really, not only highly touted, but a really good player going forward. And he has everything, big, athletic, which seems like the trend of the league is now. They want guys that can move a little bit and can sling it. And obviously he can grasp a playbook, because if you talk to anybody, Ryan Day runs that offense like pro style. So, I think highly of him. And obviously Trevor Lawrence. Think highly of Trevor Lawrence as well. So, backup plan. Look, the backup plan, somebody had to have a backup plan behind Tua and Justin Herbert. And both teams in Miami and L.A. feel like they got a franchise quarterback. Now, that's to be seen, but there's more than one. I mean, Trevor's obviously going to own the headlines coming out of college.
I know, he's just on a different level. This is – everybody's comparing him to Luck and Manning, like that kind of generational quarterback. Real quick, Marcus Spears here on the Will Cain Show. He's going to hang out two segments, and I want to ask him about the Packers quarterback and Eagles quarterback situation. But let's do this one really quickly, Marcus, before the commercial break. I teased it last time you were on. That debate broke out on Twitter. Texas, California, Florida, Georgia, best high school football. Now that the draft has taken place, I think it's settled, right? It's Texas. I mean, like, how many guys in the first round were from the state of Texas? It's Texas, right?
Well, the damn state the size of the country, man. Y'all kill me with that. Yeah.
Texas. So you want it per capita? You want a per capita breakdown?
Yeah, that's what I want. I want Louisiana to be in there. Mississippi is one of those places, too, that's highly populated. I bet Alabama would make a run, too. A lot of those guys coming out going pro. But, yeah, it's Texas. I mean, California is as big. Don't get me wrong, but Texas, like, if you can't play football in Texas, you get disowned from your family down there. So, that's why.
Nuno, get that.
How you like that one, Will? It's the size of a country.
I like that because it was a country. In fact, I did that lesson the other day during homeschooling.
Yeah.
You know, you got your kids in school there, so they're taking Texas history in seventh grade. Is that what it is? I think seventh grade. Yep. So I gave a little Texas history course over dinner the other night. I was mortified.
Grand Valley, baby.
I was mortified. My 8-year-old didn't know about the Alamo. I was like, here we go. All right, Marcus is going to hang out. We'll talk about the Packers and the Eagles quarterback situation. Nuno's going to look up per capita high school football players that turn pro. That's all coming up with Marcus Spears in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show.
This is The Will Cain Show.
I listen to a lot of preachers as I'm traveling, but whenever I know you're on, I know you're going to preach the gospel of sports on ESPN, and I love it, man.
More to come.
Hallelujah.
From The Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
James in Nevada, you're on The Will Cain Show.
Okay, now, my thing about it is, you are just like Howard Cosell.
How's that?
Everybody want to hear you and watch you, but can't nobody stand you.
Can't stand me?
Can't stand you.
Why
but everybody want to watch you, just like Howard Cosell.
That comes out of bitterness, envy, and absence of co-equal success.
This is Will Cain.
This is Will Cain, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We'll start hanging out with ESPN football analyst Marcus Spears. Marcus, Nuno has the per capita numbers. I think you're going to like them. Best high school football players in the country, according to Who Made the NFL. So, Nuno, do you want to read this? You're scrolling around. I can't read as you scroll around. Go ahead.
Let Nuno read it.
All right. This is an article from 2019, and Louisiana was number one per capita with NFL players. Alabama was actually number two.
That's enough.
Can't find Texas.
He's validated. Wait. Give me the numbers. Let me see this. That doesn't look right from what you're reading. I don't see that.
It's per capita.
He's about to try to lawyer up Nuno.
It could be fake news.
He's going to do forensics.
Forensics into fake news. Somebody, Bubba, I trust you. Check into this, Bubba. I'm not sure about Nuno's research. Marcus Spears on the Will Cain Show. Hey, Marcus, are you going to hit? So, I think it's fair. I don't think it's hyperbole, but are you hitting the red alert in Green Bay? They spent the first round pick on a quarterback. That puts Aaron Rodgers on the clock, right? In my beginning segment today, I said 3 years. That's when the clock hits midnight for Aaron Rodgers. What do you think?
I think so too. I mean, when you say red alert, though, I think they're getting ready for red alert. I think that's what the draft pick was all about. Look, a succession plan, Will, when has this become a bad thing? Obviously, I know the other side of this argument is that they could have got a receiver in a receiver-heavy draft. But let me say this. Green Bay last year was 13-3, right? Let me ask you this, Will Cain. Do you think they were a receiver away from getting to the Super Bowl?
No, they're in the NFC Championship game. I want to acknowledge that, but no, I don't think they're a receiver away. No.
No, they were.
Not
they
a rookie receiver at that.
A defense not giving up 300 yards rushing away, possibly, from going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers still is supremely talented enough to make people around him better. Now, you ask, okay, Marcus, I understand what you're saying, but why not get him the weapons so you can put yourself over the top? I'm not sure, dude, if that would have made that much of a difference off a team that was one game away from the Super Bowl. Green Bay has a plan. And two, I'm becoming a little cynical as an analyst. And let me tell you why, Will. Because my opinion usually is formulated off of the things that I've seen and then what happens to those things I've seen. And then I formulate an opinion. That's how I like to do my job. What I have seen from the Green Bay Packers is that they went 13-3 last year. We're in the NFC Championship. They played well. They improved on their defense, which helped them further along. They still had Aaron Rodgers, who was one of the top quarterbacks, even though people say falling off a little bit. He's still one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And what makes us think we know what the Green Bay Packers need more than the people that's making the decisions?
Well, but when you say what they need, what they're telling us what they need is, back to your original point, they need a succession plan. And that's just – it's a little bit – I'm not saying it's wrong. I think the timing's off. That's my thing. I think the timing's off.
Will, think about it. It's a new coach.
He's not in on Rodgers. That's what they're reporting today on The Athletic.
I don't think he is either. And
you don't.
And look, I don't. I didn't think from the beginning. Because think about it, Will. First of all, we have to remind ourselves of egos in the NFL. This is a young head coach, first job. Already come in with some things that are disproportionate. I don't know what the reporting was, whether it's 100% or it's not, but there were some little floating things going on early when he took the job of what was going on between him and Aaron Rodgers and their relationships and everything. And Aaron Rodgers possibly being hard to work with, how things happen with Mike McCarthy. I think Aaron Rodgers is not such a great teammate. Some people are different. And that's just my opinion based on what I've seen and what I've heard from certain people. I could be 100% wrong. Those people could have lied to me, told me a bold-faced lie to my face. That's a possibility, too. But with that, Matt LaFleur plans on being there for a while, and Aaron Rodgers probably won't be there for a while. And we got to remember, Will, I know we've grown accustomed because Drew Brees and Tom Brady is doing it. Like, Aaron Rodgers 37, bro.
I really like that point. Like, I really like the idea that we're using an outlier in Tom Brady, two outliers in Tom Brady and Drew Brees to allow us to think everybody's going to play to 39, 40, 41. And that's not the case.
Like, we just can't, we can't live in that, like, in that space. Just like we were on NFL Live earlier and they were talking about, well, Aaron Rodgers only got one Super Bowl. Will, when did one Super Bowl? Ask Marino if he won one.
Right. You know who got one Super Bowl and he's in the Hall of Fame and everybody says he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? Steve Young.
Steve Young. And then, like, so, and obviously the Brady era got us thinking that. Like, dude, six Super Bowl? Are you kidding me? Six and been to nine? Like, we in a time, we in an anomaly. Now, fortunately for you and I, and a lot of people that's been covering sports, just like we got the Last Dance going on. Like, wouldn't you have loved to be a part of Jordan them dynasty? Like, you and I have been a part of Nick Saban winning a bunch of championships in college, one team, and Tom Brady them. Stop comparing these people to these people. Green Bay know what the hell they need to do more than we do.
That's really good. Yeah, that's good stuff. I ran out of time. I would have asked you about what the hell the Eagles are doing too, but I know you can't do that in 15 seconds.
We got more time, bro. Call me anytime.
Get that modem. Get that modem fixed.
Per capita, baby. Stay with me, Will. Stay with me.
Louisiana. Per capita. Is it fake news?
I mean, I'm seeing some things that have Alabama number one, so I don't know.
I told you, don't trust Nuno. I don't know.
We're going with what was reported first.
It's not who's right. It's who's first. All right, Marcus, take care, buddy. I'll see you, man.
All right, fellas, later.
Please. That's Marcus Spears here on the Will Cain Show. All right, coming up, let's not let college athletics die. It's time to save the concept of the student athlete.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.